Listen as John in his gospel tells the story of the resurrection and Mary Magdalene. Early in the morning, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and she saw that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So she ran back to Simon Peter and the other disciple and said to them, "They've taken the body of our Lord, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple went towards the tomb. Both were running, and the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. He bent over and he looked inside, and he saw the strips of linen lying there. Soon after, Simon Peter came, and he went straight into the tomb, and he saw the strips of linen lying there, and he also saw the cloth that was wrapped around the head of Jesus, and it was laying there separate from the strips of linen. The other disciple, who had gotten to the tomb first, went inside the tomb, and he saw and believed. They still didn't understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead, and so they went back to the place where they were staying. But Mary Magdalene stayed outside the tomb, crying. And while she wept, she bent down and she looked inside the tomb, and she saw two angels sitting at the place where Jesus' body had been laid, one at the head and one at the foot. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she said, "They've taken the body of our Lord, and I don't know where they've put it." At this, she turned, and she saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him. And he said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" And thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've taken the body somewhere, just tell me where it is and I'll go get it." And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." And turning, she responded in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, Don't hold fast to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Instead, go tell my brothers that I'm ascending to the Father, to my Father, and to your Father, to my God, and to your God." And so Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them these things that he said. It's pretty obvious that Mary Magdalene was a very determined disciple. She was from the Galilean town of Magdala, which means tower. It was on the western edge of the Sea of Galilee. And at some point during Jesus' Galilean ministry, they had crossed paths. Jesus had performed a miracle in her body, casting out seven demons that had inhabited her body. And maybe because of that miracle, maybe in response to that, maybe because of the teaching that she had heard from Jesus, she made the decision that she was going to follow Jesus. She gave her money. Gave out of her own means to help supply the needs of Jesus. She followed Jesus all the way from Galilee down to Jerusalem, the capital city. And when the other apostles fled and abandoned Jesus as he was arrested and crucified, not Mary Magdalene. In fact, we read that while Jesus was being crucified at Golgotha, she stood there at a distance and watched the whole thing. And when Joseph of Arimathea took down that dead body and went to a garden and put it into a new tomb, we learned that Mary Magdalene was there watching the body being buried. And then here she is on the first day of the week, early, while it's still dark. She rises and she goes to that tomb to complete the burial process. She's bought some spices and perfumes, and she's going to put that on the body of Jesus. And yet when she gets there, she finds that the stone in front of the tomb has been rolled away. And her first thought is not that Christ is risen. Her first thought is Christ is stolen. And so she runs back to Peter and John and tells them the news. When they hear this, they run immediately to the tomb, and they go inside. And when they go inside the tomb, they find it's not the work of a robber here. If a robber had stolen the body, he would have taken the linens, but the linens are still there. And if the robber hadn't had left the linens, he would have left them all a mess. Instead, the linens are there, neat, separate, everything's in order. It's not the work of a robber. And so they go back. But Mary Magdalene stays. She stays at the tomb. And while she stays, she decides, I'm going to see for myself. And so she bends down and she looks into that tomb. And she sees these two angels. Now, I don't know what's more spectacular, seeing these two angels, knowing that two angels had come and appeared to her, or the fact that they didn't faze her at all. I mean, she wasn't scared. She just responds to them as if they're regular people. And they say, woman, why are you crying? As if to say, this is not a time for tears. This is a time for joy. And she responds. She just doesn't understand. She responds by saying, well, they've taken the body of my Lord, and I don't know where it is. And then she turns around, and there Jesus is. And I don't know if it was her tears. I don't know if it was being overwhelmed with grief. I don't know if it was because of just everything emotionally going on. But for some reason, she looks at Jesus, and she doesn't recognize him. She thinks he's the gardener, which is so ironic, isn't it? Because what do gardeners do? They take what is dirt, what is dust, and they bring it to life. And that's what God had done. Taken a body that was going back to dust and to dirt, and he had brought it back to life. And Jesus says to Mary, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? He's trying to draw her away from the tomb. Quit thinking about the tomb, Mary. Quit thinking about where the body is. Who are you looking for? There's someone alive. Who are you looking for? And yet she still doesn't get it. Thinking that he's the gardener. If you've placed the body somewhere, just tell me where it is and I'll go get it. And then Jesus speaks her name. Mary. And she gets it. In that moment, she gets it. Jesus is not dead. His body is not stolen. It's not misplaced by a gardener or by anybody else. Jesus is alive. And so she responds in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means my great teacher. And no doubt at that moment, she reached out and touched Jesus, maybe grasped his ankles or his hands or some part of him to find out, is it really you? Is it really you? And Jesus responds, don't hold on to me. Don't hold fast to me. Because my story isn't over. My mission isn't over. In fact, Mary, you've got something that I want you to do. You've got a task. You're to go back to my brothers. You're to go back to the disciples. You're to tell them what you've seen. You need to tell them that I'm ascending, that I want to talk to them. And so she does. She runs back with this incredible news. Guess what, guys? I've seen the Lord. This might be one of the most tender moments in all of Scripture. In John chapter 20, my dad calls it the shortest conversation in all of the New Testament, where in just two words, Mary realizes Jesus is alive. It was this very tender moment that sparked C. Austin Miles in the 20th century to write a hymn. It's a hymn that we sing very often, but often when we sing the song, we don't think about John 20, and we don't think about Mary Magdalene, but it was written from her perspective. It was written from the perspective of someone coming to a garden where a tomb is, alone. And they come to this garden. She comes to this garden, and instead of finding a dead body, she hears a voice, and that voice tells her that Jesus is alive. Let's pause and let's sing that hymn together and think about Mary Magdalene going to that garden. The hymn is, I Come to the Garden Alone. Let's sing that. key question in this story for me is, why did Jesus appear to Mary? Why then? Why in the garden? Why just her and him? He didn't appear to Peter and John when they were inspecting the tomb. He was going to appear just a few hours later in the upper room, and all the disciples would be there. Probably Mary Magdalene would have been there as well. And so why did he appear at this point, at this time, just with her? What was so special about Mary? I mean, after all, if we get our chronology correct, this is probably the first resurrection appearance of Jesus. And why would he choose to appear first to Mary Magdalene? It seems to me that maybe he'd want to appear to Peter or to James or John or to some other apostle, or maybe even to some of the religious leaders, the Pharisees, Sadducees, maybe even to Pilate. Why would he choose for his first appearance to be Mary Magdalene? Was there something special about her? There's a lot of speculation and controversy these days about some kind of inappropriate, intimate relationship between Jesus and Mary Magdalene. It's based on the Gnostic Gospels and apocryphal literature. But if you just look at the text, the biblical text, you don't see any hint of that at all. I don't think that's the case. Could it be that God was rewarding Mary for her determination as being a disciple? I mentioned how determined she was and that she followed Jesus from Galilee all the way to Jerusalem, how she was there at Golgotha, she was there at the burial, she was there on the first day of the week. Could it be that God rewarded her for her faithful following of him? Maybe. Could it be that she had some faith? I mean, after all, there was something that drew Mary Magdalene to that tomb on the first day of the week. There was something that drew her back after she told Peter and John. And there was something that caused her to stay even after Peter and John left. Could it have been that there was just a little bitty seed of faith tucked away in her heart that was believing hope against hope that somehow Jesus was alive? We don't know. What is very striking to me about the story, though, is the point at which Mary Magdalene realized that Jesus was alive. It wasn't when she saw the empty tomb. It wasn't when she saw the linens and the cloth laying there in the tomb. It wasn't even when she saw the angels, as amazing as that might be. It wasn't even, you could even argue, it wasn't even when she saw Jesus. Because when she saw him, she didn't recognize him. The moment at which she understood that he's not dead, but he is alive, was when Jesus said her name. Mary. Earlier in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep by name, and when I call, they hear and know my voice." I wonder how many times Mary had heard Jesus say her name. How many conversations did they have, those times that they were together in his ministry? How many times had Jesus told Mary, "Thank you. Thank you, Mary, for giving of your money to support us." How many times had Mary heard Jesus teach about what it means to be a disciple, what it means to follow him, what it means to be a servant, all the different teachings that he gave? How many times did Mary hear that? How many times did Mary find encouragement from Jesus as they were walking those dusty roads to Jerusalem? Were there occasions where Jesus would come beside her and say, "Mary, don't worry. Even though there's suffering ahead, even though there's death ahead, even though there's a cross ahead, don't worry. Don't worry, Mary." I don't know how many conversations they had, but it was enough so that Mary, as she stood there in that garden grieving, when she heard the name, when she heard Jesus say, "Mary," she knew who it was. It was her Lord. And that's what caused her to believe. It wasn't the physical evidence. It wasn't through logical deduction. It was through hearing her name. And I think in that moment, we see an element of grace. Because here is Mary, and she's grieving. Four times in the story, it says that she's crying, or referenced that she's crying. Four times. She's obviously grieving. She believes her Lord has been crucified and that it's all over. And worse, to add insult to injury, she believes the body has been stolen and it's being desecrated and it's going to be a whole mockery about Jesus. And she emotionally, she can't handle that. And so she is grieving. She stays at the tomb because she is grieving and crying. And could it be that God looks down and sees her, his faithful follower, and sees her grieving and says, I'm going to show a little grace here. And Jesus comes and he speaks her name. And he offers her comfort. And he offers his presence. Because he sees her affection. He sees her grief. He sees her concern. And so he comes and he speaks her name, which gives grace to her. Watch this video.
I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hands. He knows my
come here this morning from a lot of different places in our life. As Richard mentioned in his communion talk, some of us come filled with guilt over the past, over things we've done. Some of us come this morning because we're broken and we don't know where else to turn. Some of us come this morning and we're in the midst of despair or loss or grief. Some of us come and we're just distracted. We're distracted with life, we're distracted with busyness, and we're not focused on what we need to be focused on. Some of us come and we're confused. Maybe we're doubting. We come from a lot of different places this morning, but we all come here on Sunday morning to go back to the tomb and to see what do we learn at the tomb? What is there at the tomb for me and for us? And there's a lot there. There's hope for the future. There's evidence for faith. There's power to conquer sin and death, but there's also grace. There's grace at the tomb. And we see it in this story in John chapter 20 as we see Mary Magdalene grieving and struggling over this death. And God sees her, sees this disciple who has poured herself out, not only with time, but with money to support Jesus. She's poured herself out, and God sees her and comes to her, and Jesus appears and speaks her name and gives her grace. And from that moment, she is changed. She moves from grief to gladness, from judgment to joy, from confusion to clarity. And she leaves with a memory in her soul and a message upon her heart to go tell the disciples, I've seen the Lord. Why? Because God had grace on her, and she knew that the Lord was alive, but also she knew that the Lord cared for her and knew her and had spoken her name. And wherever you are in your life, and where you are in your faith and in your journey, and the struggles that you're going through, let me just tell you this. The Lord made you, and He knows you. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your struggles. He knows your name. And He wants to give you grace this morning. But like Mary, we have to turn away from the tomb. We have to get our minds off of what has been and what is the past and what is dead and what is dying away. We've got to turn around and see what is ahead. We've got to see what's alive. We've got to see what is new. We've got to see what is real and what is true. We've got to see Jesus. And that calls us to repentance. That calls us to baptism. And it's in those actions that God comes and He gives us His grace and He speaks our name. And we find the comfort that we need. One of my favorite stories about the late Wyatt Sawyer, told it at his funeral, was when he was growing up, he really didn't have a father figure. But he had decided, he had come to church, and he decided he wanted to give his life to Jesus and to serve Him. And he had kind of made a commitment in his heart that if the Lord would have him, He'd give him 100%. And so on a Sunday morning, when the invitation song was sung, he comes down the aisle to be baptized into Christ. And the way it was told me is that as he came down the aisle, in his mind, he was not coming to the preacher. He was coming to Jesus. What a beautiful thought. He was coming to Jesus. And this morning, as we celebrate the risen Christ is with us. His presence is here, and He stands with us. And He wants to give you grace. He wants to speak your name, and He wants to give you grace. And we just have to decide that we're going to turn from the past. We're going to turn from the world. We're going to turn from those old ways. We're going to turn towards His way and to the new way and to where life is found in Him. And we're going to come to Him, and we're going to be baptized into Christ. And God will come, and He will give us grace. And we'll be forgiven, and we'll be new. And we're going to sing a song of invitation. And if you're ready to come to the Lord who knows you and who speaks your name, just come to the front. Don't walk to me. Walk to Jesus. And come and follow Him. Maybe you need encouragement or you need mercy. You need prayer as maybe you're going through a tough time. We're going to have ministers and elders just surround this building and just walk to one of them and they will pray with you and help you. If there's any way that we can encourage you this morning, please come. Let's stand. Let's sing at this time.